Hello everyone, I'm An Shaowei from research team. And today my talk is about toward Ethereum 2.0 sharding universe. And also, before it's complete and delivered, there is a gap between now and the end game. So what we shall build for it? So this is the well-known Ethereum roadmap that I don't need to go through again. The outline is quite simple. All these phases have its own goals. And however, from the design to production, it's actually like this. So in practical, it's like a twisted highway layer by layers and connected. So the current approach is much better than the early sharding and Casper design, like in the 2017. And where there were no beacon chain between the ETH1 chain and ETH2 chain. And the sharding chains are actually, they were depending on the ETH1 chain. But however, even with the beacon chain, we still have to confront the backward compatible issues for it. And for the design areas, sometimes it's vertical, and sometimes it's horizontal. I recall that back in 2017, research team has received some feedback from the community, from the client teams, that we should have more incrementalism in the design philosophy. That is to add many small incremental steps, step-by-step changes, instead of a few large sounding jumps. To compare this two different strategies. And for example, when we are building a city with incremental strategy, we should start from the base construction and then build the small houses. And then nearby the small houses, we build the higher buildings. So that's the incremental plan looks like. And for the Southern plan, with the Southern implementation, we would draw the blueprint very, very carefully and start to construct. And suddenly, the castle just landed. So I'd say that the current approach in ETH2O is much more toward the incrementalism design. But there's still something that we need to think about. So the disadvantage of the incremental design is that in the part of you, you can see that you might waste some time to build the phase and phases. And there's also the Biko fallacy thing. You can see is that Biko, he has a very, very good sense of the smell, but with a very limited eyesight. So it's possible the prey is just in front of them, but it's downwind, so they can't see the prey, even if the prey is very close to it. So is that in the protocol design. So that's why we usually have to go back and forth and to fix problems that are hidden somewhere. And okay, so Yasek and I organized a survey recently. The survey was for the Ethereum community, and especially the developers. And one of the questions is, what core chain properties or functionalities do you, do you want to see implemented in East 2.0 or East 2.1.x? So we got about 69 people answer this question, and I categorized them with some simple tags as below. And the top three wishes, there are scalability, proof of stake, and the gas and free model improvements. Those three different requirements, but in some point, they are overlapping. They are overlapping in the East 2.0 design map. So I select some of the topics based on the top wishes today to introduce to you. And these three topics include the abstract and the stacking and aggregation, and some significant changes that will happen in the East 2.0 sharding universe. So the first one is the layer one account abstract. So it has been discussed in the East 1.x as well that in the abstract account model, all contracts are forward contracts. So there's no, all accounts are forward contracts. So there are two main strategies. One is we only abstract the signature, and another one is we do full abstraction, include the nouns, gas, and payment. And with the guaranteed transactions. And also, if we got into the East 2 EEs, we will have the, each EE can have its own different execution environments. And also, each environment can have different account abstract model inside it. So it's very flexible and very easy to plug into one to each other. And another topic I want to talk about is the EIP 1559. It's the free market model change created by Vitalik and Eric Koehner. And so in this scheme, we will have a dynamic base free value. And this value is addressed by the utilization rate. So if the utilization rate is over 50%, this spatial variable will be will increase. And if it's if the utilization rate is under 50%, this this value will be decreased. So so since it's update automatically, it allows the user doesn't have to do more work on this. The wallet service can help to define the fare free for the users. So it actually make a lot of UX better than the current state crawl. So, and also the best free will is always burnt. This design rationale is to prevent the miner or the proposer from manipulating the free in order to extract more fees from the user. So generally, it will be a more fair model than the state crawl. And before talking about the staking, I want to mention the Casper FFG again. So Casper FFG is the finality tool for finality protocol for the East 2.0. So the validator, the duty of validator have three steps. One is to make deposit to the East 1 deposit contract. And the second one is when the block has enough, has to vote for the current epoch, the current checkpoints. And if the checkpoint got enough votes, we call that this checkpoint is justified. And also, if the checkpoint is if the checkpoint has the justified descendants, we call this block or this checkpoint is got finalized. So that's the basic validator duty. And we also know that the misbehaved validator, they will get slashed. So what is slashed? Slashed is that it will improperly it will deduct the validator's balance from the protocol. So after migrating to the full proof of stake system, it will introduce a new economic model. So Colin Myers from ConsenSys has been working on this economic models for a while, and the model is based on the current foreign stake. I encourage people, especially the economists, to take a look at his work and give feedback for the economic side. So similar to the money pool, we can expect that there will be a staking pool in the near future. And if the validator are not online for a while and they can't finalize any checkpoints, so they will be penalized as well. So based on that, it's very important to have a stable networking environment for the proof of stake validators. And the next topic is about the network latency. So this message are the most overhead of the sharding network, including the attestations, which is the vote of the between the beacon chain and the shard chains. And the second one is the transactions. So the transaction is only in the sharding network. And also there are blocks, including the beacon block of layer and also the shard blocks. So, and we have crosslink. So the shard block will point to the beacon block, and the beacon block would refer to the shard block sometimes. That's called the crosslink. So the crosslink is included in the attestation data per shard chain, and then got included in the block, in the beacon chain. So also the shard chain and has its own subnet, this is very clear, but sometimes the cross-shard networking communication is frequent. So with the latest East2Speak, we have 4 million validators, 64 starts per epoch, and 6 seconds beacon block time. And we will lead to 64,000 individual signature on the beacon chain. But good news is that this individual signature can be aggregated into the smaller message. And in the sharding network side, we have 64 kilobytes block data capacity and 3 seconds shard block start time. And it will lead to about like 21 kilobytes per second in per shot. So that's the overhead here. And about the networking layers, East2OR use the LibP2P as the base networking protocol. So under the networking layer, it's the peer connection. So the peer connection, it depends on the peer discovery protocol which you are using. And the true business logic is the message is broadcasting with the publish and subscribe system. So we use the gossip sub protocol to to broadcast the subnet messages inside the SHA chains. So yeah, but imagine that if we have like 1,064 SHA chains and about 4 million validators, it will be very large. And also, we will have to think about the peer-to-peer network topologies. So there are three possible cases, which is the structured topologies and also the unstructured topologies. And that include the flooding, gossip, epidemic, and random walk. So the gossip sub is included in this category. And also, it's possible to combine the structured and unstructured topology into the hybrid model. So this is an example of how can we implement it simply. So the in this simple model, the validators are, they can broadcast the message inside the SHA by using the gossip sub protocol. And only the proposer of the given slot of the given shard are the only one who have to collect all the signatures for the given slot. Sorry, for the given shard. So the overhead only inside the subnet, and only the validators. Only the proposers have to exchange the aggregated signatures. But this simple model has two cons, which is it losing the validator privacy, and other nodes can need to trust the list proposers. And if the proposer doesn't do their work well, then the rest of the validators will lose the reward from it. So it's too easy. Another one is implemented by consensus research team. It's called Handle. Handle allows the aggregation of thousands of signatures just under a second. It's done by organizing the connection in levels. So it's more like a structured design. It's doing well, but we also need to think more about how can we utilize the hybrid model more efficiently. So eToro is very is a collaborative work. So I think Justin just mentioned about that very well. And I want to highlight again, so we have the EIP, East Research, and Magicians, and East2 Spec. These are the sites that you can find more deeper knowledge from it. And also, there's a bounty initiated by Justin, and you can get 5 ETH if you found any bug on the current Beacon Chain spec. And finally, I want to say that even we are facing, while the Beacon Chain protocol is almost done, and there are some optimizations that client teams are working on. And generally, I'm very optimistic of what's happening and excited about how can we solve this this problem in the next few stages. And okay, so it's I'm co-hosting a breakout with Yasek tomorrow morning. And if you are interested in knowing more about the, how the developer experience looks like in the phase one and phase two stage, please come with us and join the breakout session. And if you want to know more about these two discussions, there's a chance like if you travel next, after the Japan tour, and you can come to Taiwan. There's a conference called CrossLink, and just type in crosslink.taipei. Okay, that's the slide credits. Thank you.